Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everyone, you're listening to the White Sox Talk podcast. It's brought to you, as always, by Wintrust. Chuck Arfine here. Sox Fest is also here, and we kick things off with the opening ceremonies on Friday, and then we debuted a brand new show, Sox Fest at Night. Jason Benetti joined me to host this star-studded White Sox extravaganza, which we aired live on NBC Sports Chicago and also streamed it on the Mike Teams app. Because I'm always looking out for you who listen to the podcast, I wanted to bring this show to you as well. So we got a White Sox-palooza of guests. Rick Hahn, Rick Renteria, Tim Anderson, Jose Abreu, Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert, Yasmani Grandal, Eloy Jimenez, Dallas Keuchel, and a couple other surprises in there too. Here we go.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left field!
Holy cow! Carl Contreras has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
You can't put it on the ball!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
All right, it is Sox Fest at Night here at the McCormick Place. Our debut of Sox Fest at Night. Chuck Arfine, Jason Benetti, Rick Hahn, and Rick Renteria. How about it for these guys, huh? We have a jam-packed hour. How excited are you to do this show?
I'm almost as excited for the show as I am for Chuck Arfine Hype Man, getting the crowd amped before we get into the questions. We have so many guests on this show. These guys are great headliners.
Yes.
Then we go down the list of White Sox players. A ton of guys are going to join us.
I first want to ask Rick Hahn this. What have you been up to? What have you been doing?
I'm up to about 176. It's a little higher than I want to be, actually. Probably become all the stress eating this offseason. But we've been busy. We've had a nice, productive few months as a front office. I know that speaking on behalf of Jerry Reinsdorf, Kenny Williams, and myself, like we're pleased that we were able to knock off a few things on our shopping list and we feel move us closer to where we want to be. And that is in a position to win championships in this city. Based on the growth that we experienced last year, based upon what else we feel we're adding from inside the organization. When you start looking at some of the veterans we brought in from the outside, we know that we're ready to transition out of that first stage of the rebuild into far more brighter days.
Ricky, what does this roster look like compared to even last year to your managerial eyes?
Wow, it's significantly different. Obviously, the experience, a lot of postseason experience and performance experience with these guys. Obviously, some of the additions we've made with the arms. I think our depth is a little better. I know Rick wants it to be even more than that, but I'm excited. I mean, I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go.
Yeah.
I like when you answer a question about the improved depth, and this like little smile comes over your face while you're answering it. Like you're almost holding a little back because you're as excited as some of these fans are, I think.
And they should be. And we all know that you know, getting the roster together is the first piece of the puzzle. The next is obviously implementing everything we can in order to put ourselves in a good position to play good baseball and win a lot of ball games.
I was trying to imagine you the last couple of months filling out your lineup card. Right now,
yeah.
You in the kitchen? You got who do you got leading off? Who's leading off?
It's a good question. I have a lot of options, a few more options now than I did last year. Not knocking anybody that we had. Listen, we've been going through a process which was going to eliminate guys, and obviously some guys were going to surge and come to the surface. We've had a situation in which our development department, the guys that have been at the major league level, have taken huge strides, which puts us in a much better position alongside with the acquisitions that we've made. Puts us in a really good fighting position.
Since I know you don't want to give your lineup, I want to know two things. Number one, when you scribble down a lineup as you're just thinking about it during a day-to-day, where do you do it, like cocktail napkin or otherwise? Two, how many different versions have you just like thought, oh, I got to write this down?
Well, I do. There are times, believe it or not, that I do scribble on napkins. But there is a process to lineup construction. I mean, I look at numbers. I ask for guys to send me information and see what matchups are going to look like and things of that nature. It's a broad look that I have in terms of determining what's going on, as well as how things are going in the moment. How hot are guys? How well are they seeing the ball? I mean, you can, as they're sitting there watching a ball game, they see a guy at the in the box and they know who's hot and who's not. You know, especially when they say, why are you pulling this guy for this guy, you know. Hopefully we're always on the same page in terms of how we're seeing someone's performance in a particular day, but we use a lot of parameters in order to present our lineup for the day.
This offseason, Rick, I mean, Grandal, Keiko, Encarnacion. I can keep going.
You wear Hype Man really well.
I know. You do.
Good,
how
Chuck.
Many people are here tonight? I mean, thousands?
Everyone we see.
Everybody we see. Rick, can you give us a story about one of those guys, that something that happened along the way this offseason that people would want to hear about, something that they did or said or they want to know about them?
Let's see. I'd have to say, you know, we met Ricky, myself, Kenny, and Jeremy Haber, our assistant GM. We met face-to-face with Yaz in Arizona. It was at a different hotel from the GM meeting, so you guys wouldn't catch on to our scent. And when we went in there, we go in prepared with a little presentation about what we're about, and we knew that Yaz was very into advanced scouting and advanced metrics, and we wanted to sort of show him how our approach would be to getting him out. So he's obviously familiar with himself. Yaz sat down, went through everything with us, and we handed him, we said, oh, we prepared this for you. We know you like your advanced reports, blah, blah, blah. And he took a look at it, ran it through, and he's like, yeah, that probably isn't going to work. Do you guys have this, this, and this on me? And we were like, okay, this guy is everything we've heard about in terms of his preparation and knowing what's out there. The next day, or maybe it was 2 days later, his agent reached out to me and said, you know, Yaz really enjoyed the meeting. He would like you to send him the same statistical breakdown and videotape on Lucas Giolito, on Ronaldo Lopez, and Dylan Cease before he makes any decisions about where he wants to go. So he was taking this process very seriously. He is a very thoughtful, diligent worker who cares about winning and cares about this organization. And I've got about 140 text messages from him this offseason with different ideas on different players to back that up.
He says he wants to be a manager one day. Sounds like he could do that, right?
Yeah. It does. And he's very prepared. This guy's going to come to try to beat you in any way he can on a daily basis.
We've heard the name Nomar Mazara. Sox go out, get Nomar Mazara, trade for him. Why did you target him, Rick?
For a multitude of reasons. First and foremost, what he currently is, and that is a 24-year-old left-handed bat with a tremendous upside, who even as he has performed in the big leagues the last 4 years at an extremely young age, he still is a productive hitter against righties. That said, if he doesn't improve at all, he lengthens out Ricky's lineup and he balances out and from a left-handed, right-handed standpoint. That said, he's a tool shed. He's a guy who our scouts, our coaches, let's put it this way. You always want the stats and the scouting reports to line up. That's the rare animal that it all lines up perfectly, and certainly those guys tend not to be available. On this one, the scouting belief in this player was so strong and so deep that I think we had 12 or 13 different reports, all of the same caliber, high caliber reports, first division, winning team, everyday player reports over the span of 4 or 5 years from 6 or 7 different scouts. There comes a time where when you're trying to break ties and you're trying to figure out what's the best way to move forward that you're going to trust your people. And this is a guy that even if he doesn't turn into the player that many project him to be, he's still going to help us.
and we want to bet on our guys being able to unlock that upside.
Last question, and Nomar last year when he was with the Rangers was betting third, fourth, fifth, high leverage spots in your lineup. For you guys, though, we're talking sixth, seventh, the pressure's going to be off of him.
It could be a different spot. Again, you know, what guys are doing at a particular time, I have a much larger base for flexibility in using these guys. And I don't want to pigeonhole anywhere, but we have a pretty strong middle of the order and guys now that we filter in 7, 8, 9, and I'm sure that as we start to face everyone, they're looking at him going, gosh, 1 through 9 is going to be a battle.
All right. There's that smile again, by the way. Yeah. He got the smile again when he's talking about 7 through 9.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for being here, guys. You're welcome. We appreciate it. We have a lot more to come here on Sox Fest at night. In fact, I sense a Tim Anderson in the house. Oh, yeah. There he is. Tim Anderson coming up next on Sox Fest at night. And we are back. Sox Fest at night. The magic you just heard at home was responsible thanks to that guy and that guy.
He did it.
I started it. He finished it.
That was a great moment. I wanted to ask you, Tim Anderson, when did it sink in? Sink in that you were the American League batting champion.
I haven't really had time to think about it. You know, the offseason, I kind of get away from baseball, so I haven't really had time to, you know, think about it. But, yeah, man, it's definitely an honor and, you know, a blessing to, you know, to be able to accomplish that from, you know, from going from year to year. But, yeah, man, I just put the work in, and I think it's showing. I'm excited.
All right, so we saw that homer, big right. comeback win. It was right after the whole thing happened with Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
Seriously, how'd that feel? Good. To hit that bomb that night.
Good. Then I had to do the bat flip again to let them know, like, I ain't scared of y'all. I ain't scared of nobody. So I had to do it again, man, and just let them know, you know, that was a huge comeback and, you know, definitely a heck of a game. You know, I was happy to be a part of it.
Well, Tim, I love surprises.
Yeah.
Do you like surprises?
Yeah.
We have a surprise for you.
Let me see it.
He just said, I love surprises, and then
I didn't expect he was going to give me a surprise.
Well, we got a surprise coming right over here. Your manager, Rick Mitchell,
Like surprises. I like surprises.
This is the Rod Carew Award presented to the American League batting champion.
Yes. Give me some, baby.
Great job.
Look at that.
That's dope. This is dope. Man, wow.
We want to get a photo of you guys, though, actually. Okay. They want to get a photo here. That's awesome. No.
How cool is that, right?
Everybody don't get one of these. Everybody don't get one of these. No, you got to be different to get one of these. Everybody don't get that, man. That's a blessing. Yeah, man, I'm just happy. I'm happy that I accomplished that. I'm ready. I'm ready again. I'm ready to do it again. I already did that, so why not do it again? I'm excited.
You just said you got to be different to get one of those.
Right.
Inside of you, what makes you different?
Because I got one of these.
Right?
We've known you for a long time. Right. What made you different before,
man,
had something to...
I do my own thing. I don't follow other people. You know, I do my own thing, man, and I play the game my way, and that's exciting. And if I'm at my best with, you know, bat flip, then that's what the fans want. They want to come out and see a heck of a game. So why not give it to them, right? So that's what I'm here for. I'm here to do that and play hard, and I'm all in. I'm ready to win.
Well, listen.
I'm ready to win.
I know you are.
Yep.
I can see it on your face.
Yeah.
Last five players to win that Rod Carew Award: Mookie Betts,
right.
Jose Altuve, Miguel Cabrera, Josh Hamilton, Joe Mauer, and now Tim Anderson.
Different. That's different. That's different.
Yeah.
We got to do what they're not doing. We got to do what everybody ain't doing.
So what's next?
Who knows? I'm excited to see myself. But, man, I've been working. You know, man, I learned a lot from last year, just taking care of myself mentally. And I'm prepared. I'm prepared, man. I'm ready, and I'm excited. Like I said, I'm all in.
You were a part of the rebuild. You are now coming out of this rebuild.
Right. I've been here.
What do you see now coming for this team?
Man, I see a lot of exciting things. You know, I can't put no label on it.
Yeah.
You know, I can't promise nobody anything. But I can say we're going to work hard and, you know, try to deliver what the ultimate goal is, and that's a championship.
You lived it like we did in the offseason, getting the news about guys traded for or signed or whatever. What was the signing that you just, like, pumped your fist and you were like, we got that dude?
Man, I wasn't really keeping up with it, and then we signed Keuchel. Then we got Grandal. Then we had Edwin. I was like, all right, we serious. I'm ready. I've been waiting on moments like this to add new pieces, and you know, they know which way we're heading to, and I'm right behind them.
Wait, what do you do in the off season? You're not keeping up with.
I'm a full-time dad, and I do other things that excite me: photo shoots, man, and you know, build my brand. So I do other things besides baseball.
All right, so you live in Chicago. You've been around Chicago. Mm-hmm. You feel like this is becoming more of a Sox town now?
Yeah, it's home, baby. We at home right here. I'm at home, man. This is why I moved my whole family here, man. The fans took me in, man, and showed me love from day one, and you know, I appreciate them.
What's going to be the next level of Tim Anderson? What are you trying to do better this year?
Everything. Everything, man. I, you know, just come back and, you know, continue to bring that excitement, continue to bring that energy, and, you know, keep frying these people up. That's what they want to see.
I know after the whole thing with Kansas City, right, a lot of people reached out to you, fan-wise, friends and everything.
Yeah.
What was that like to hear the response, which from what I saw was like 90% positive about you being you?
Yeah.
What did it mean to have people reach out like they did?
It was definitely, you know, it was dope to for have people to reach out to me. You know, it got a little backlash, but, you know, I was able to turn it into a positive. So we turned that negative into a positive. We kept going, man. We finished the season, and we got that batting title. Then the rest of it, we ain't worried about what nobody else say.
Where's that going to go? Where are you going to put the Roger Maroon
War? I ain't thought about it. I'm going to sit on my nights now for about a week, and then I'll find a new place. If not, I might take it with me, man. I got to remember this. I got to keep, you know, I got to stay motivated and try to do it again.
That's so, just awesome. I just like looking at it, man.
That's different. That's different, man. I never had one of those. I never had, and everybody don't have one. Everybody can make All-Stars, you know, but everybody can't win no batting title. That's different. That's different, man. That's different. Yeah, so I'm just, you know, happy and, you know, blessed to be in the position that I'm in.
How are you different personally than when we first met you in 2016? What's different about
you?
Man,
I just grew, man, and, you know, being more open and, you know, being open to the fans and just being real, giving a real, genuine TA. And, you know, man, just being honest.
What's the real you?
Bat flip. That's me. That's me being myself. So
when did you first bat flip? Do you remember when that happened?
What? When I bat flipped?
First time you ever bat flipped. When was it?
In your life.
I don't even know to think about it.
You don't know?
I don't know. Like, I never thought about bat flip. I never, you know.
Just happened.
No, that's just me. That's just swag.
So the first time was maybe in the major leagues?
Yeah. Well, no, I done did it before, but that's the first time somebody said something.
So I just Brad did Keller it. Maybe had a problem with it?
Yeah, forget him, though. I ain't worried about him. He on my squad, baby. Forget him. We going out to beat him. I can't wait to face him again. If I hit another one, we're going to do it again.
Ah, they like that.
Hey. Yes. T.A., you know who the first series is against?
Them.
I think the Royals are in.
I'm not scared. I ain't scared of nobody. So, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm prepared, man. And, you know, I'm ready to work. But I ain't worried about them. The ultimate goal is winning the championship. That ain't my focus.
What's been the vibe amongst the players? I know you guys all just got together here recently, but you're talking. What are you guys feeling right now?
Man, positive vibes. We ready to go. We ready to fight for one another. We ready to go to war. I got these guys back, right or wrong. I'm with them. I'm ready to win, and I'm all in.
All right, one last question.
All right.
You going to win another batting title?
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, why not? I ain't saying I am, but why not go for it, you know? Why not bring what I got to the table, man? I want to be the best. So, yeah, if that's what it equals to, then we definitely going to go for it.
All right.
That's what they want. Yep.
People are chanting MVP.
Yeah.
Why not? MVP for this guy.
All right, why not?
I think we got a new slogan, maybe.
It's possible.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? It's possible. Anything's possible.
All right, well, we got three guys coming up next who all might win an MVP themselves. Yes. Cuban Connection. We got Jose Abreu, Yoan Moncada, and Luis Robert. Up next on Sox Fest at Night. Back with more in a moment. All right, we're back here for Sox Fest at Night. Chuck Arfline, Jason Minetti, and... you're on, yes. Jose Abreu, Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert.
And...
Billy Russo.
Translator to the stars, the interpreter of all interpreters, Billy Russo, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I want you all to know that Jose Abreu wants to host this segment and all in English. So take it away, Jose.
Not too much.
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Fine.
Thank you.
I want to know who's going to have the bigger season. Who's going to have the biggest season in 2020 amongst all three of you guys?
¿Quién va a tener la mejor temporada de los tres este año?
The White Sox.
Okay.
But now pick one.
But yeah, pick one.
Ahora uno, pues. ¿Quién va a ser?
Ejo.
Joan?
Luis.
Oh.
Luis is going to have... Oh, both.
Both.
I like that. Yeah. Your name, your nickname is what?
La Pantera.
La Pantera.
The Black Panther.
Yo-Yo, you gave him that nickname, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Black guy. No, because when I see the movie,
te vas a enredar.
I see like the Black Panther.
Te vas a enredar.
And I put it, the nickname.
Okay.
Hey, hey,
by the way, some good English by Yoan Moncada, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I want to know, we hear a lot about Jose as a leader. I want to know from Luis and Yoan, what makes Jose the dad of the group? What makes him such a good leader?
Because he's old.
It's okay. I no problem. I love you, fan.
How old is he, Yoan?
Jose?
Yeah.
32.
I thought you were going to say he was like 70.
No.
Oh, come on.
Well, he was calling you old now.
He didn't call him a grandfather.
Yeah. Who's the best dancer of the group?
Yoan.
Yeah. Are you sure it's not Luis?
No.
What I think we should do is see who the better dancer is. You guys want to dance off?
For music. Let's go.
We have music?
Yeah, let's go.
El canilleo.
Yoan wants to try the canilleo. That's a Cuban dance.
All right. Let's do it.
Do we have to sing it? Yeah. I don't know how we get created. Do we have any music in the house?
Need a music.
Oh, we might have something.
No, but no, someone.
No. I don't like it.
You got it. That's all we got. Come on. You want to see this, right?
No, that's not music. That's not music.
Canillo is good.
It's a Cuban music. Canillo.
We only got like 8 minutes for this segment, so I don't know if we can get on Spotify.
If you put it the canillero like Cuban, I dance it.
Okay.
All right, we'll find it. We'll do it. Maybe next year we'll do that for you guys. Better Instagram follow. Is it you or Luis Robert?
I don't know. I can check.
No, Moncada.
Oh, you're saying Moncada.
I think me.
All right, better hairdo right now.
Robert.
Hey, where'd you come up with the hair?
De dónde sacas lo del pelo?
No, modo luz. Por el tiempo lo he tenido negro y decidí darme un tinte de amarillo para cambiar el
look. I just want to try a new look. You know, my hair is black. I always have that color black, and I just want to try something different.
Do we think that Chuck could pull that off?
Que si creen que Chuck se puede poner el cabello así.
Yeah.
That's two yeses.
That's right.
That means you have
to
do it.
No.
Okay.
I could dye my hair. How good is it going to look?
Bad. That's great.
Bad. Exactly.
No, not the one.
Really? Thank you, Jose. That's very nice of you. I disagree. By the way, I was talking to a writer from Cleveland about 2 weeks ago, and he thinks that someone on this stage could challenge Mike Trout for the MVP this year, and it was Yoan Moncada. You. What do you think about that?
Él habló hace una semana con un periodista de Cleveland. El periodista le dijo que si hay alguien de los tres que están aquí que puede darle pelea a Mike Trout de este año para el jugador más valioso es Moncada. ¿Qué piensas de eso?
No, yo lo que pienso es que salir a jugar mi pelota como siempre lo he hecho y salir a jugar para el equipo, que es lo más importante.
My focus is just to go out and play the same way that I've been doing throughout my whole career and play hard and then see what happens in the end.
Yeah.
Jose, what's your scouting report on Luis? How's he play the game?
That's okay. I got you. I'm feeling the season. Take it easy. The numbers are going to be like.
The stats. The stats are going to be there.
Yes.
They are.
I got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it.
It's my song. It's my song.
He's your son?
Yeah. Come on.
I love it.
Okay. Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you.
They're both your sons, right?
Yeah.
You got a big family at this point.
All right, another question for you three, but it's really only for one. Who on this stage hit a home run last year that went over a giant cow?
¿Quién de ustedes tres conectó un jonrón el año pasado que se fue por encima de una vaca gigante?
Yes. Oh,
all right.
We got music. Yeah. And there it is. This is Johan Moncada doing. Is there a name for this dance? Does anyone know this?
Canilleo.
That's what it's called.
You like it?
Love it. It's yeah. good.
All right, let's go.
No, Luis first. Primero Luis. Luis?
Hello, boy.
You want to dance?
No.
No baila?
No.
Then Johan wins, right?
Johan
Moncada.
Hey, he's your champion. Luis, what have you learned from these two guys about baseball?
You didn't point at me, did you?
No.
Okay, good.
¿Qué ha aprendido de Pito y de Abreu y de Moncada?
Thank you.
De Moncada, bueno, Moncada es un muchacho joven que ya tiene bastante experiencia en Grandes Ligas y me ha enseñado bastantes cosas que le han pasado a él cuando empezó. Y Pito, bueno, Pito me ha enseñado de todo. Pienso que Pito va a ser una gran pieza para mí este año. El resultado que pueda tener creo que me va a ayudar mucho.
I got you. I got you.
Even as young as Moncada is, you know, he had experience in the majors, and I think he can help me just letting me know the things that I have to overcome, the things that I'm going to face when I make my major league debut. And Pito, I mean, he's going to be my mentor. I mean, he knows a lot about everything on and off the field, and that's going to be a big help for me this year.
So, yeah. One thing we have not talked about is that Jose Abreu, you signed a contract to come back and play for the White Sox. How important was it for you to sign and be back here to help lead this team to where you want to go, which is a World Series title?
Para mí es el firmar y regresar a esta institución vale mucho. Primero, le agradezco eternamente a la vida por darme la oportunidad de haber firmado con esta institución en el 2013. Mami siempre ha dicho que hay que ser agradecido en la vida y yo lo soy. Y yo lo soy con la institución, con los fans, con la ciudad y primero que todo con Jerry, que es el que paga.
Dale. It means a lot to me, you know, because the White Sox were the organization that gave me the chance to play here, gave me a chance to be here. I'm very glad to sign that deal and to came back. You know, my mom always told me to be thankful and loyal. And I'm loyal with the White Sox, I'm loyal with the fans, but especially I'm loyal to Jerry. Because of him, I'm here. And you know, that's very important for me. Except the loyalty is a very important thing in my life, and my mom was the one who taught me that.
Johan, why was last season so different for you than 2018? What changed?
Bueno, el año pasado, el 2018, ¿sabes? Fue una temporada de, ¿sabes? De experiencia como la que fue el año pasado, ¿no? Pero aprendí de los errores. Hay un dicho que dice que los errores se aprenden, aprendí de ellos. También, bueno, le doy gracias a Abreu por, pues, ¿sabes? Por nunca dejarme caer y nunca dejar que bajar la cabeza, ¿no? Y creo que aprendí y el año pasado tuve una buena temporada debido a hacer los ajustes que tenía que hacer para la temporada del año pasado.
You know, 2019 was a learning experience for me. I learned from my mistakes, and you know, I'm glad that I had that experience. That's why last year I was able to perform at the level that I did. I have to thank Abreu too, because he backed me up every single day, no matter what. He was there for me, and that's that was very important for me. I think that those two factors were the main difference from 2018 to 2019.
All right, one last question. How excited are you guys to start the season?
Estamos bien contentos. Bien, primero que todo hay que darle las gracias a la institución de los White Sox por hacer las adquisiciones que hicieron, ¿verdad? Estamos bien contentos, tenemos un buen grupo. Hay hambre de ganar, que es lo más importante. Solamente que le pedimos a la vida que nos dé salud, que lo demás lo hacemos nosotros.
First and foremost, we have to thank the White Sox organization and the front office, because they did a good job this year with all the acquisitions, and I think they put us in a very good position to be a good team this year. We're very happy, we're excited about what this year is going to have for us. I think we're excited, and we want to show why we're excited.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Jose Abreu, yeah. Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert, and Billy Russo. Up next on Sox Fest at Night, two guys who are all in on the White Sox, Dallas Keuchel, Yasmani Grandal. They're up next. Don't go anywhere. All right, Sox Fest 2020 is underway here at McCormick Place. It's a Soxapalooza here on Sox Fest at Night, and we now bring in two new White Sox players, Dallas Keuchel, Yasmani Grandal. And guys, you know, for this rebuild, this was a rebuild, to go to the next stage, at some point we knew free agents would have to come in and buy into what the White Sox were doing. Why did you buy in with the White Sox?
You want to start?
Yeah, you started it.
Catcher's got to be the decisive one, right?
I think you know, we spoke a little bit earlier, and you know, I guess there had to be somebody to kind of step forward and make the first move, so... you know, like I've been saying for a while, I just had to kind of dig deeper a little bit into the organization and see where they were going, and see how I could help out. And then once that happened, I just felt like it was the right spot to be, and I'm glad I got this guy to come over. Like I said in at the winter meetings, you know, you can have him, Rio, Bumgarner, you can just give me all those guys, it's fine.
For me personally, I think being fortunate enough to play against the American League teams for my first 7 years with Houston, and then getting to play against the White Sox last year with the Braves, I saw a big step forward from a lot of guys, and that really opened my eyes at that point in time. So heading into the offseason, that was really a big turning point for myself and what I envisioned myself with, and then obviously... With this best backstop in the league, I think that really solidified the whole backstop in general, and that's where you build from. You build from the backstop up, and I'm just hoping to be a part of something special here and get back to the playoffs.
I think they want the playoffs.
I think so too. You said best backstop in the league. What's your scout on Yasmani? Why is he the best backstop in the league?
Well, there's so many intangibles. I think you really can't pin the nail on one, just because that would be doing him an injustice. And especially last year. I signed with the Braves late, but I remember going into Milwaukee, and he wasn't playing. So actually, I was very thankful for in that moment in time. So I've been a big fan of his for quite a number of years, and we're kind of the same age. So it's just a thing I'm thankful for to have such a good backstop here with me, and he's going to make me look a lot better than I really am. So I'm just going to thank him right now early because he's going to pay dividends for us here for years to come.
Hopefully, yeah.
Rick Hahn was just on the stage talking about how you prep for a game and what you look at, Yasmani. What's your process for getting ready for a series?
The way I do scouting report, it's kind of a little bit outside the box.
Okay.
I kind of use everything. When I was coming up in the minor leagues, we kind of just play the game by feel. So, that's number one. So I'm reading body language. I'm reading everything as to what a swing pass should look like, whether he took a good swing or not on a certain pitch. But other than that, obviously, I'm huge on advanced scouting and numbers, and I completely understand what it's all about when it comes down to analytics. So having a nice mixture of that kind of helps me get a whole scouting report through. And I'm not only doing scouting reports. I'm doing game plans against pitchers, against relievers. How do I want to set this guy up, whether I'm hitting or I'm catching? There's a lot of other things that I do other than try and figure out how we're going to get to the final out and to be successful. So, and that's one of the things I enjoy. Just like I said before, I might watch maybe 5-6 hours of video per day.
Is that right?
per day.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. You'll be prepared.
Yeah, I try to take all the stress out of these guys, so they concentrate on what they need to do, and then I'll take all that on me, and we can go from there.
So Dallas, you signed with the White Sox, and I noticed you changed something on your Twitter page under your name. What did you put there?
I put bad Leroy Brown.
South side of Chicago.
I had loved that song for so long, and it just felt fitting, so I thought I'd just go with it.
Is that going to be your walk-up song?
No. Because I'm not the baddest guy around.
How do you compare personality-wise to Leroy Brown?
Well, I feel like we compare pretty well until it gets to the end of the song where he ends up getting beat up. So I'm hoping not to get beat up too much. I'm hoping to do the beating up on the field more so.
I want to know what it's like in this day and age. You have a catcher talking about stats and advanced stats. What do you look at as a pitcher? What have you adopted in terms of analytics, and what don't you look at?
I try to split it down the middle. So I try to be equal parts of analytical and old school. I think with my persona, with my repertoire, with how I go about my business, I try to incorporate everything that Yaz talked about, but at the same time, the numbers really don't lie. So you have to take into account that aspect, and that's when you really kind of dive deeper into, hey, every guy's different, but at the same time, there are weaknesses in every guy. Nobody can cover the whole plate at one time. So on certain counts, certain pitches, guys cover one area or one pitch better than other areas, and I have to find that area to exploit. But also take into account my strengths and my weaknesses into every single hitter that I face.
Do you feel like you don't belong as a contact ground ball pitcher in a strikeout era?
Well, I'm a left-handed 88-mile-an-hour pitcher, so I feel like I should have been like in the 80s. I would have been better suited than the 80s, 90s, but I'm doing okay right now.
So you've got a beard. Pretty big beard,
you
right?
You are so sharp.
The things you see that
other people don't.
May have not noticed the beard that Dallas Keuchel has. Do you have to trim it at all, or are you going to be okay with that beard?
That's a good question. I think...
No, it's not. Don't tell him.
I don't have a good question?
No, that is because actually this is a great opportunity. So when I signed, I had a conversation with Rick Hahn, and he was saying, hey, we might have to trim the beard a little bit. And I said, well, I did trim it from what it was last season. So does that count? And he said, well, Jerry, who pays the bills and is the guy, said, hey, you know, we might have to clean this thing up. So I'm hoping that this look right now will be acceptable. But hopefully we start winning, and then we all can just keep everything.
Let it all grow out.
Let it all grow.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine with me. I hate to bring this up, but it's the elephant in the room with the team you used to play for in the Astros. And I wonder if you can just address what happened and how the whole that franchise goes forward.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, anytime anything comes out with any team or any circumstance, it's very tough to. It's a tough pill to swallow, especially in this instance. Mm-hmm. I think with the media earlier, I personally apologize for just the team in itself, because I mean, hey, we have to stand up for something that we did. At the time, did we know it was going to come down to this? Absolutely not. Did other teams partake in some sort of sign stealing or scandal? Yes. I mean, we had multiple teams doing stuff at the same time. So it's you're going to get caught in doing it, or what's going to happen? So it is what it is. I'm not. It's just it frustrates me that it is what it is now. So you know, sorry is the best I have personally, and I'm gonna try to move on from that.
Okay.
As I know, you've had conversations with all your new teammates, but Yasmani, as people are walking through the door, what are the conversations like here at Sox Fest, and how are you building towards spring training in terms of learning about everybody?
Well, I mean, we're not really learning much. We talk about the Bachelor a lot.
The Bachelor?
Yeah.
Who do you like this season?
My top four are going strong.
Okay. You want to share?
So Hannah Ann was one of my top picks for
okay.
sure.
Good
she's,
to know.
She's one of the front runners. So yeah, no.
People are yelling names out yeah. at you, by the way. That their
it's a
favorites.
Great show.
Yeah.
Nothing like reality shows. So.
Okay. Well, hey, I got a reality show for you, actually. Over the summer.
Yaz in the beard.
No. Over the summer, you were playing at Wrigley Field with the Brewers. There you were. And there was a fan in the crowd, a White Sox fan. What did he say to you? He shot this. What did he say to you?
Yeah, I was just talking to him, to Dallas about it. You know, when I get in the game and I get in under the...
Here he is.
Yeah.
This is Greg Hoffman. What did Greg tell you?
No, quite frankly, I remember him asking me whether I liked L.A. or Milwaukee. The city wise,
okay.
I think my answer was, you know, they're pretty similar. I get pretty sarcastic when,
yeah,
we're on deck.
Yeah, when I'm on deck. And then I actually just reacted to him saying, you know, I hope they give you a lot of money. So I kind of looked back and I was like, yeah, I hope so.
Well, Greg, what did you tell him?
I said there's a strong rumor going on that the Sox are going to pay you a lot of money to come to Southside.
So yeah, all I heard is, you know, they're going to pay you a lot of money. I was like, yeah, I hope so. That's why I came here, you know. So,
well, Greg saw this coming, apparently.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it when I signed with the White Sox. Cause, I mean, it wasn't the first thing that popped in my head.
For me, it was.
obviously. No, but seriously, it's one of those things where it kind of happens maybe once in a career, you know. It's cool once I kind of – took a step back and watched the video and kind of saw exactly what he has said. I just thought they were gonna talk crap to us because they were Cubs fans, and they were just trying to get us out of our game. So
well, we wanted you guys two to meet, and so I'm glad you met.
We spoke on Instagram already.
That's great.
So yeah.
Does Greg know anything about where Mookie Betts is going?
I do. No.
Almost had him.
Almost. All right. Guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
All right, up next, our last segment, and it's the one and only Eloy Jimenez. He's coming up next on Sox Fest at Night. All right, we are back with Eloy Jimenez. Yes. All right. You always have a smile on your face. Why are you always so happy?
I don't know. That's my personality. I'm trying to be happy every day.
You said to us during the break that you are stronger right now than when we last saw you. First of all, it's scary. Second of all, what have you been doing this offseason to get bigger and to get better?
Working hard, pretty much in everything, and try to enjoy what I do, like always. Also, I play a little bit of winter ball. But pretty much it was gym, workout, agility, and all that.
Why did you want to do winter ball?
I like to play there. I like to play there in front of my friends and family. So the family I have can visit me here. So for me, I like to play there for them.
Do you have a favorite home run that you hit last season?
Against Cubs.
I guess the follow-up, Jason, is why?
Why? You know why. And they know why.
Seriously, how did that feel?
Amazing. Amazing. It was one of my favorite moments of my life.
So I was talking to Steve Cishek, your new reliever, who was playing on the Cubs last year. And he said after that game, he asked Pedro Strop, who gave up the home run, like, what happened there? And Strop said, look, he broke his bat on the home run. I did the best I could, but he broke his bat and hit the homer.
Yeah, the first time when I hit it, I say, easy pop out to left field. And when I saw Schwarber, the fan, I was like, oh my, this is unbelievable.
How often do you surprise yourself like that?
Not a lot, but that moment surprised me a lot.
What are we going to see from Luis Robert? Oof.
Like I say before, I'm not afraid to say he's going to be the next Mike Trout.
Next Mike Trout?
Yeah.
Why?
He got the five tools and he played hard like him. And I think he's going to be the next Mike Trout.
What should Sox fans expect from this year?
Well, and I'm not afraid to say either. If we don't make the playoffs, I'm going to be disappointed.
Why do you feel like this is a playoff team this year in 2020?
Yeah, last year we compete with the team we had, and this year is even better. Better lineup and better start.
All right. That was fun. That was a blast. I had a great time with Jason and all the White Sox fans and all the White Sox players, plus GM Rick Hahn and manager Rick Renteria coming on stage. My thanks to the White Sox for being so accommodating and letting us debut this show at Sox Fest. It was so much fun. And I really appreciate being able to host the show with Jason and, of course, to bring that show to you here on the podcast. And we got a couple other podcasts set for the weekend. On Saturday, we're sitting down with Michael Kopech as well as Dylan Cease. We're going to put the Kopech podcast out on Saturday. I think the Cease one will save until Tuesday. So that's coming up and more stuff on the way for all of you White Sox fans. And that's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you as always by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide.
go to their special White Sox webpage. It is www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, it's all yours.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.